A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah. How long will you halt between two opinions? If he's the Lord, then serve him. Amen. You can't serve God in Baal. You can't serve God in money. You can't be divided in your affections. How many know that we should have eyes for only one? Amen. Amen. Only for him. Hallelujah. We shall have no other gods before him. All right. Not gods of media, not gods of anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is confirming the word. Title is Confirming the Word, and that was confirming the word. So I just go sit down now. We just heard the message, so hallelujah. I love how the Holy Spirit works together. He confirms his word, doesn't he? There's an old Hebrew saying that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God will confirm his word. If God is directing you to do something, amen, it's not going to be just one wild word out of nowhere. Amen, it's going to be a confirmation. There'll be several confirmations. In fact, when God called me to come out here from New England, I got three confirmations in 1 week from three different people that hadn't consulted one another. And they're all saying the same thing to me. And so then I knew this is where God wanted me. And so just, we need to wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in chasing rainbows. You know, and if it's got to be a little greener on the other side, or if I can just leave this area and go to a new area, or, you know, then things are going to be better. And sometimes, you know, you can pull yourself out from under God's protection, from under his blessing, and place yourself where you think it's better, but not necessarily where God says it's better. How many know that God is smarter than we are, much wiser than we are? Amen. And so we need to really bow our knee to him and say, Lord, what do you say? Be willing to listen to his voice. We have our desires, and then he has his desire for us. And I find that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And what happens is when you delight yourself in the Lord, he changes your heart. So you'll begin to love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. You'll find yourself agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he wants to bring us into a place where we are, you know, really yielding ourselves, submitting ourselves to him. I wanted to begin today with this message from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and delivered to us by those who heard him speak? So the writer of Hebrews, he just completed his argument that Christ is supremely better than the angels because he's the Son of God. And then he gives us the first of several warnings against drifting away from the message of the gospel. And there is a danger of drifting from the truth. Would you agree? You just mentioned it, that there are many voices today. But there's only one voice of truth. There is only one way, one right, one truth, and one life. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. In verse 4, it says, God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Jesus ministered in power and signs and wonders. He empowers his church today to minister with supernatural manifestations and spiritual gifts. How many know that Jesus has not changed? We change, but he does not. How many know the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament? Yes, amen. There's not two different Jesuses, amen? God authenticates his message. by signs and wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Signs are miracles which signify spiritual truths. For example, the feeding of the 5,000. It formed the basis of the discourse on the bread of life, who is Jesus. So Jesus did things in the natural to teach us spiritual lessons. There is a connection between the natural and the spiritual. As a matter of fact, many things that are happening even in nature are signs of what's happening in the spirit realm. Storms, for example. The feeding of the 5,000. This sign bore witness to the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. In John 6:32, he said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Wonders, signs, wonders, or miracles that arouse amazement in the spectators, such as the healing of the paralytic or raising Lazarus from the dead. In Luke 5:26, it says, "They were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" When God moves, he moves in mysterious ways, and it challenges our intellect, our own understanding. Things happen that are not necessarily natural to our understanding, to our reason, right? And because he's God, he is supernatural. Amen. And when you and I are born again and we receive the Holy Spirit, we also become supernatural beings. Because, amen, the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within us. And so the Lord wants us to walk with him and do the works that he did. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we see an iron axe head floating here. "But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Verse 6, "The man of God said," this is Elisha, "'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and he made the iron float." Iron floats. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are these? These are special abilities given to us so we can speak and act in a manner that is completely beyond our natural abilities. That's why, guys, what we're called to do is impossible apart from the indwelling Holy Spirit. We cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're not called to act like Christians. We're called to walk as Christians. Through the new birth, we become children of God. Amen? And so we are to walk with the Spirit, but we're not to work for God, but we are to walk with God. And when we walk with God, we will work with God, and God's purposes will be accomplished through our lives. So, for example, gifts of the Holy Spirit would be a word of knowledge, God giving you understanding of something that you could have never known any other way, except that it be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Maybe about somebody's life. Amen? Anybody here ever receive a word of knowledge before? Ever have a word of knowledge spoken over you? Or somebody who was able to read your mail? Have you ever had your mail read from the pulpit? Somebody speaking from the pulpit, right? Sometimes we're giving a word of knowledge and not even aware we're giving a word of knowledge. We're just speaking whatever God tells us to speak. Amen? Because it's really not of us. God's just looking for vessels to work through. The early church, as the early church, so today, Jesus is empowering his followers to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus began his church in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring his church to maturity and completion in the same power of the Holy Spirit. The early church, amen, was born of the Spirit and also baptized with the Holy Spirit. The early church ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit and manifested the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Even in the first century, there began a drift away from living and ministering in the Spirit to living and ministering in the flesh, that is, by man's human abilities. Some Christians believe that human effort can successfully accomplish the will of God. So how many know what I'm talking about here? Some people think that you can just be a Christian if you just try hard. I'm going to be more loving today, more caring today, more peaceful today, more patient today. You know, I have to act a little harder to be a better Christian. What God does is He empowers us to give us the ability to control ourselves by His Spirit. Amen? So we can be patient. So we can be loving. So we can be peaceful. Amen? So we can have joy. But it's not of us. It's of the Spirit that He gives us as we rely upon, lean on the power of the Lord. Amen? Who is with us. So it's true that many are trying to serve the Lord in their own human effort. And how many know that you and I without Jesus are nothing and we can produce no fruit that would last? And that's why people get discouraged, is because they're trying in their own effort to be a good person. Yet none of us are good apart from Jesus. He makes us good. We have to understand that our goodness comes from God. And He simply gives us the power or the ability to control what we do and what we say. Amen? But in my own willpower, I'm limited. Especially when it comes to the devil. Amen? How many know the devil can walk all over somebody's willpower? Have you ever had it happen before? Have you ever got self-confident before? Ever thought that I'm doing pretty good? And that's a setup, isn't it? A recipe for a disaster. Because the enemy waits. He watches us. He studies us. He looks for vulnerabilities. And the vulnerabilities is when we become prideful. And we become strong in ourselves. And we begin depending on ourselves. And we quit leaning on the Lord. And then He waits for that opportune time to get that dart in there. Amen. That's why we're commanded to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, and in the power of His might. So the Lord provides the grace we need, the strength we need, but it's my responsibility to come to Him and receive from Him so that I can be fully equipped for every good work to glorify the Lord. Amen. To bear fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. We got a lot of fruit today, amen? But we need God's fruit, amen? Hallelujah, it's the fruit of life because He is life. People need the Lord. They need to encounter God. They need to experience Him who is life. Amen? And you and I, as we abide in Him, as we walk in Him, as we yield, as we submit to Him, amen? He gives us the ability to be a loving person because His Spirit enables us to do so. That's why sometimes you run into people who are very loving naturally, maybe very peaceful naturally, mellow, maybe a happy person naturally. But human nature, amen, is incapable of producing the fruit that God accepts. In other words, you can be a loving, good, caring person naturally, but be completely disqualified before God. To be unacceptable before God. Why? Because God accepts the fruit of His Spirit. Otherwise, we can boast. Otherwise, we can take pride in how well we are or how good we're doing. And when we start to think that we're the one that's good, we're becoming prideful in our own personal accomplishments, and we're no longer giving the glory to God. Amen. We have to understand if we have anything to boast in, we must boast in the Lord who has enabled us to be good people, to live right, to live clean, to live holy. Amen. It's not of me. My responsibility is to yield to the Spirit. My responsibility is to obey His voice and pray that He would give me the power, amen, to do so. See, a lot of people don't have the power of God in their life. Amen. They're just walking, if you will, naked in the spirit, spiritually naked. They're a complete target for the enemy because they don't think they have a need for God. They don't think they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't think they need to obey the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? And because of that, they walk naked in this world, and the enemy knows that they're a target, and he'll come after that person. How many know you and I are no match for the adversary? But the adversary is no match for the Jesus that's in us. Amen. So we need to know our identity, who we are in him, who he is in us. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Even in the first century, there was a drifting away from living and ministering in the Spirit. They all began in the fire, if you will, in the Holy Spirit, in a place where they were really relying on, leaning on, and walking, amen, with the Lord in the power of his might. And so they begin to believe after a while that I can now kind of shift over to my own human effort and become successful that way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If we get self-confident, we are setting ourselves up for a fall. Because now we're prideful. We're taking it upon ourselves. We're thinking that in ourselves somehow we have what it takes to overcome this world. That's a huge deception. And many people, even many Christians, don't understand the difference. They think it's just about me getting a new self-improvement tape or CD or, you know, just like we're constantly just trying to improve on the old thing. You can listen to thousands of messages and be unchanged. You can go to every seminar under the sun and remain unchanged. If the heart doesn't change, the life doesn't change. And only God can change the heart. And that's why there must be a willingness. We need to be brought to a place where we're now willing to obey and follow the Lord, to humble ourselves before him. And then he can raise us up in honor. Because the Lord will not give his grace to the proud, but only to the humble, to the ones who realize, apart from him, I can do nothing. So Paul spoke to the Galatian church, and he reminded them that they had begun doing well, walking in the Spirit, but then something had happened to where now they were putting confidence in their flesh or in their own ability to live the Christian life. And Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" New Living Translation says, "How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human efforts?" Churches, congregations can become this way. They can be on fire for God. Amen. And after years have gone by, people have been distracted by things of the world, and they've become choked by the other things that have entered in, the cares and the riches of this life. And now they're just a shell of their former self in the Lord. Are you hearing me? To where a church can die spiritually. There's people still there, but spiritually it's dead. Why? Because they're no longer relying upon the Holy Spirit. But now they're putting confidence in their ability to live a good Christian life. Apart from him, it is impossible to please him. We cannot do what God's called us to do in ourselves. Peter thought he could. He thought he could stand up for Jesus and he would never deny the Lord. But Peter had to realize, he had to learn that in himself he did not have what it took to live the life he was called to be the man he was called to be. He would have to learn how to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing is true for every one of us here. If we begin to shift away from dependence on the Holy Spirit to dependence on self, you'll begin to die spiritually. You see, blindness is a result of wrong focus. A blind person who's never seen doesn't know what it's like to see, right? A dead person doesn't know they're dead. Until somebody comes along and tells them, hey, do you know you've been asleep? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever drifted away from the Lord a little bit? Maybe a lot of bit. And then all of a sudden you realize, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? How far I've drifted. It wasn't my intention to end up here, but somehow, little by little, I've just slipped away into this darkness, into this fading to black, as we may call it. And then somebody or something happens where God brings some light, some revelation, and an awakening begins to occur. You begin to realize that you've been asleep. But unless the Lord had moved on your life, you could never know that. That's why people who are asleep spiritually are not aware they're asleep until the Word comes, delivered by the Holy Spirit, and it brings light. The entrance of the Word of God brings light. And it's only through the light of the Word that we can see clearly where we really stand. How many have ever been away from church for a while, amen? And then you come back to church and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot how good it was to be with God's people singing praises, amen? And the atmosphere of heaven is here, amen? That's because we are called to gather, amen? To join together as God's people. Yeah, it's God's idea. The Lord said, whenever two or three are gathered, amen, in my name, there I am in your midst. And the writer of Hebrews said, we are not to what? Forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we are to do it even more often as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Even more often should we be meeting there. How many of the early church met every day? They met daily from house to house, breaking of bread and prayers. Even in the temple, they would go to the temple and they would have church. Oh, yeah, they were in the building. But they understood after the new birth that they were the temple of God. Amen. And they met in a synagogue. They met in a building, but they were the church of God. And so God wants his people to come together. Amen. Because you and I together are a habitation of God in the Spirit. And we all have something. If you're in Christ, you have something to give, something to bring to the table, to share. Some people were brought up in a powerless situation, a powerless form of Christianity, and they've never known the passion of a first love. Are you hearing me? Who you hang around with can influence you. Where you fellowship can influence you. I've known some people that were on fire for God that got into a dead church, and a few years later, guess what happened to them? They became a product of their environment, and they weren't even aware what had happened. Guys, I pray all the time, Lord, don't let the fire go out here. Amen. Fan it into flame. We need more. How many would agree we need more of him? Amen. Keep praying for revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Like the church of Laodicea, we all know about this one, don't we? He says, because, verse 17, Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing. This is the attitude. I don't really need God. I've got everything. I've got technology. I've got comfort. I've got food. I've got clothing. I've got shelter. Why do I need God? This is the idea, see? And this was a church that God was dealing with. They were asleep and were not even aware they were asleep until the Lord in his mercy revealed that to him. He says, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, because they're not aware of their powerless condition. When a person is not aware of their powerless condition, they continue to play church. I can play church real well. How about you? I can speak Christianese fluently. I know how to say amen, brother. Right? But do we have the substance? The substance which is Christ. They weren't aware of it until the Lord open their eyes to that. God confirms His word. Our responsibility is to share the word, and God will confirm it. We need to speak the truth in love. Amen. We need to speak the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. How many know there's a difference between somebody speaking a word in their flesh and somebody speaking by the Holy Spirit? When it's the Holy Spirit, there will be power. Amen. Present. It will be influential, that word. Amen. You will feel it burning in you when God is speaking. The church needs to return to its beginnings. When the word of God was preached and it was confirmed in the power of the Holy Spirit. How did God confirm His word? With signs and miracles. Amen. Various gifts of the Spirit. Wonders. But this is impossible apart from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, some people, again, they learn how to be a Christian. We're learning how to be a Christian. No, you need to be a Christian. And the only way you can be a Christian by abiding in Christ. Amen? Having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Having your life filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that the power of God is manifested through you. And people will encounter God when they encounter you. They will see the clay. They will say, this is just a person. Isn't this the carpenter's son? They said of Jesus. But they were amazed at the things that He did, the wonders that were performed. Amen. What was it that caught their attention when Peter and John being, as I heard someone say recently, they were actually, the original word there, when they said they were ignorant and unlearned, was they were actually calling them idiots. They were calling them idiots. I mean, how nice. But they took note of them because they had what? Been with Jesus. So that's the difference, guys. If you are hanging out with Jesus, if you're spending time with Jesus, if you're walking with Jesus, you're going to bear the fruit of Jesus. Come on. You will be like the one you worship. You'll be like the one you want to be like. Too many Christians are trying to conform to the world and look at these superstars and these sports heroes and these, you know, these celebrities and, oh, I wish I could dress and act and talk and walk like them. Come on. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. I want to become more and more like Him. And the only way you're going to become like Him is by spending time with Him. No other way. Coming to church once a week is not going to make that much of a difference. Are you hearing me? It can be the beginning of something, but you have to learn how to feed yourself. You need to be in the Word yourself. Come on, somebody. You need to know how to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to walk in the power of God because it's only the power of God that's going to make the difference. Not only in your own life, but in the lives of people around you. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for reality. They're looking for something that has substance. Amen. There's more to you than just talk. How many know a complete heathen can preach a message? No spirit. Some of them have learned how to do it quite well. There are many con men out there, amen, that are even in pulpits. And their whole motivation is to get people's money. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. His commandment was what? To love. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. Huh? And will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 17 again. He says He what? Dwells with you. the Spirit of the Lord, and will be in you on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Spirit. Baptized all of them. Amen. And they began to turn their world around. Amen. It's by the power of God. The flesh profits zero. I can produce no fruit in myself. I can act like a Christian but not be a Christian. I want to become a Christian. And the only way you become a Christian is by abiding in Him, Christ. Amen? Spending time in His presence. Hallelujah. You will be like the one you want to be like. And you will spend time with the one that you love. You will put other things away to be with the one you want to be with. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, in the last days, in 2 Timothy 3:5, hear this, having men will have a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. Denying the dunamis. Same word in Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my what? Witnesses. We will only be able to bear witness to the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord and not by ourselves. You can't just read a book on evangelism and be an evangelist. You need to have the evangelist in you. Are you hearing me? You need to be filled with the power of God. And then you can manifest the presence of God. Hallelujah. And people will know there's more to you than just you. When they see your life change, they'll know it's got to be something bigger than you. Amen? When they see you exhibiting behaviors that naturally you'd never exhibit, they know something else is going on there. This is the same guy that used to cuss like a sailor. Now he's praising the Lord. That's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Something has happened. I remember going back to my band after I got born again in my bedroom. I went back to band practice, doing Black Sabbath back in the day. And at the break, you guys heard about Jesus? Whoa. That's a testimony to the grace of God. All of a sudden, now I want to talk about Jesus, the one I love, amen, the one that's changed my life. And I want everybody to know about Jesus because Jesus is now in me and He's given me a whole different perspective on things. What used to be normal is now abnormal. What used to be abnormal is now my normal. I never understood those people that really were true Christians until I became one. Because God did the work of grace in my heart. He changed me. Amen. And I'm still in work in progress today. But you guys, you know, there are those that they have a form of godliness. In other words, they know how to act godly. I've met some people that can really put on quite a smile and quite a facade, quite an act. All right. But how many have ever met anybody like that where you just thought, man, they're so nice and they're so kind, but they're so fake? Huh? I'm not picking on car salesmen here today, but and if I looked at you, I'm not talking about you, so. But people can learn how to manipulate people using their emotions. Amen. But when we're filled with the love of Jesus, amen, Al, it's a whole different thing, man. You don't have to fake it. It's who you are now in the new identity. All of a sudden, you just become more loving, more gentle, more faithful. Amen. You become gooder when you're born again. And you want to share that goodness with others. You want to share that love with others. Paul said the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20, is not in word, but in power. New Living Translation says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. A true Christian lives by God's power. A true Christian, amen, will bear fruit. Amen. By virtue of the fact that they are abiding in the Lord. Amen. And they're relying upon his ability and not their own. They're putting no confidence in their flesh or in their ability to be a Christian. But my full reliance is now upon the Lord himself, who is the strength of my life. And only in him can I bear the fruit that is acceptable to him and that will make a difference in the lives of somebody else. It's only by God. It's not of me. It's not of you. It's of him. He's looking for vessels. There are other believers, unfortunately, sadly, that believe the gifts of the Spirit have ceased and are no longer in operation today. And they use this following scripture to try to prove that point. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's talking about growing up into maturity, right? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And this portion of scripture has been used by some to allegedly to prove that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had ceased at the completion of the writing of the New Testament or the New Testament canon. Well, let me ask you this question. Will prophecies, tongues, and knowledge cease? Well, these verses actually say that. But the relevant question is when, right? And in what sense? The answers really are clear from the text itself. That is the perfected state that occurs upon the second coming of Jesus. That's what I believe, when that which is perfect is come. There's only one perfect one, and that is the Lord himself. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away when perfection comes, right? The Apostle Paul was clearly stating that this perfection had not come in his day. This has still not occurred, by the way. Perfection comes at the coming of our Lord when we see him face to face. Amen. In verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. When we see the perfect one, Jesus, face to face, tongues will be unnecessary. Prophecies will cease and knowledge as we know today will pass away. We're living in the time of grace. We're living in the church age. And in this time, amen, the Lord has given gifts unto his church, amen, so that we might go and do God's business in the earth, amen, that we might go about bearing witness to the fact that our Lord Jesus is risen. He is the living God, amen, that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, given the name above all names, and that he's given power to his people, to his church, amen. Amen. To go and do the works that he began to do when he was here. That means you and I are called to represent Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Not to rely upon our flesh and just do what our flesh can do, but to rely upon the power of God to do what we can't do naturally. And the only way that we can be endued with power is to worship God in spirit. To spend time with the Holy Spirit. To continue in him, to abide in him, to remain in him. And as you abide in him, as you continue in him, you will become more like him. Hallelujah. And you go again from that struggle to live right to being just in a place of complete peace. Amen. With God and the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? The struggle is over when you abide in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live a clean, a holy life in this world. Amen? And it's not a struggle because his power or his grace is sufficient for us. He's more than enough for us, and we have no excuse because God has opened the way into the holiest, where now we can come with confidence into the throne room of grace to receive grace and find mercy, right? Mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And today is a time of need, would you agree? If we're going to be effective for the Lord, it's going to be because we are relying upon the Lord. We are abiding in the Lord. We are continuing in the Lord. Amen. We are feeding ourselves on Him. We are building our lives on Him. Amen. And not on self. God wants us to be an example. God wants you and I to be empowered. Amen. To be filled with His Spirit. Amen. So that we can bear effective witness to the fact that Jesus is who He says He is. And that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And He wants us to be on point with Him. He wants us to be doing life with Him. Jesus said, I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons in my name. I want you to raise the dead. These are the things that we're supposed to be functioning in as His people today. Amen. Because the assignment has been given. Amen. The commission has gone out. He's looking for someone who'll say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go for you. If you go and you speak what He's telling you to speak, He will confirm His word with accompanying signs. Hearts will change. People will change. People will be healed. People will be set free. They'll be delivered. Amen. Do you believe? Do you believe God could use you that way? Well, God wants you to believe that He's calling you today to go in His name. There's a sick, lost, dying world out there around us. And God has called us to be light. He's called us to be salt. He's called us to be influencers. But if we lose our savor, do you know what it means to lose your savor? It means that you've disconnected from your Lord, because He's the savor of your life. Amen. He's the sweet, fragrant offering. Amen. He's the one that people need. Amen. Not us. But God's looking for a vessel to work through. How many know that God can heal the sick in the store? Amen. On the street. And God can deliver people. Hallelujah. Even in the theaters. Some of you seen that movie recently? Boy, people are having a... I saw one example where this lady's casting out demons right there in the popcorn stand area. There's people on the floor. That's what God wants us to do. Why? Because we're going to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Lord of all. That He has the name above every name. That every devil, every demon, amen, is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're not in any way be intimidated by our adversary. We're not to be afraid. God doesn't want cowards. Amen. He wants warriors. Confirmation. We are soldiers. We have been enlisted in God's army. And we have mighty armor available to us. And He's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. So that we can represent Him free of fear of man, because fear of man will bring you into a trap. Amen. It will shut you down. The enemy's trying to gag the church. He's trying to intimidate us into silence so that we won't speak up when we should. Amen. Don't be afraid of the devil. Amen. Don't be afraid of the boogeyman, because Jesus is greater in us than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Do you understand? The devil is afraid of a person who knows who they are in Christ. If a person does not, hear me, does not know who they are in Christ, he will pick on them. He will torment them. He'll walk all over them. If a Christian doesn't know who they are in Christ, amen, the devil will constantly be. And you got some Christians, all every time you talk to them, how's it going? Oh, the devil. Oh, the devil. How about, oh, Jesus is Lord. Jesus has conquered him, amen? And now he's telling me to enforce what he's already done. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Is God with you today?
Yes.
Is God for you today?
Yes.
Then let's rise up. Amen. Let's rise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My prayer is that you would pray and ask God to open doors of opportunity for you. Amen. To be able to share with others. Look for those opportunities. Amen. You see somebody hurting, somebody sick, pray. Amen. You see somebody bound, ask them, can I pray for you? Let's step out, amen, and do what God's called us to do. Because the Lord will confirm His word with accompanying signs. And He's not looking for special vessels, amen. He's just looking for yielded vessels. That means you and I, amen, qualify to be a vessel for God. If we're willing to submit ourselves to God and allow Him to use us, He will use us. And you'll know it's got to be God. Because you'll witness God do things through your life that you know you couldn't do. So that the glory will belong to Jesus. Amen. You know, I was listening to a little testimony of Connie Frisbee. And about, you know, Lonnie with the Jesus Revolution, the whole thing that went on there. They had separated, she had mentioned, she said something that was very powerful. She said, the reason why God chose the hippies is because they would not take the glory unto themselves. They could not. And so God chose the people that were least likely to do extraordinary things through, because many of them, amen, the glory to themselves, or people will know that something has changed, something has shifted. When I got born again, people knew something had changed, something had shifted, because that was just not who I was. Amen. And so God says, I'm going to, you know, God will reach into the most unlikely places and raise people up through all kinds of history, all kinds of stuff that's gone on in your past. God says, you're perfect for the job. I'm going to forgive you of all that stuff. I'm going to cleanse you from all that. Amen. I'm going to make you right in my sight. Hallelujah. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to raise you up. And I'm going to use you in ways that you could never have dreamed. If you're willing to say yes, here am I. Would you say that to him today? Do you mean it? Say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I just really feel a shift in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be glorified, Lord, in your church. Be glorified in your people, Lord. Be glorified in the earth, Lord. Your name be glorified, Jesus. We live to bring you glory, Lord. Live to bring you fame. To lift up your name, Lord. Lord, may your name be exalted in America again. The name of Jesus, hallelujah. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, reign in us. Give us a holy passion, God. Jesus. Let's lift our hands to Him right now. Everyone, lift your hands to Jesus. Would you do that? Just lift up your cup to Him right now. Say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my life with your fullness and raise me up to be a vessel for you. I thank you, Jesus, that you have heard me today. Grant me the grace I need to live for you, to honor you, to glorify you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.